Saints or Sinners on the clock. We've got a new intro for this mini segment where we get through the action match preview for Saints v Geelong on Saturday night at Marvel Stadium. Trying to get this podcast under 25 minutes. So no long intros. We've got the panel here. We've got Coach Proc, Saint Trainer, Head Chef Yoz, and myself, Jules. No long intro. Let's just get straight into the action. Saints playing Geelong. Who are we feeling? Saints or Geelong?
We play well. We play well at Marvel, and we play well against Geelong at Marvel. We won the last three, so we got a chance.
Going off the form that I saw Geelong against Fremantle, I'd say Geelong at this stage for me.
Yeah, I watched Trent's highlights, and it's Geelong for me.
Geelong for everyone, but we got a chance. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I'll go into some insights that I gathered for Geelong and the Saints, and then Coach Proc can maybe dissect them in his Lion Tamer segment, and then we can ask him some questions as well. Geelong played only one game at Marvel last year, where they lost to the Saints 89-107. Two games prior in 23, they played one against the Dogs at Marvel, in which they won, and they played another, which they lost, which was against the Saints. In last year's game, round 23 against Geelong at Marvel, the Saints outmarked Geelong 128-85. Wilkie had 15 marks, Steele had 10, Mason Wood had 9. And in our back line, Battle, Dougal Howard had 8 marks and Naz had 7. So
that's not much of Battle.
That's right. He was in the stats and I had a little shed a little tear reading his name, which probably suggests with those high marks that we chipped the ball around in the back line and maintained control in that game. Remember last week I said in 9 out of our 11 winning games last year, St Kilda won the marking count. And in that little run late where we won 6 out of 8 games, in all 6 of those winning games, we won the marking count. In fact, Saints averaged 104 marks last season, which was the second most in the comp. So we like the game on our terms. Geelong against the Dockers last week had 110 marks, 14 to Jack Henry, 11 to Tom Stewart, 9 to Zach Guthrie, so a lot of marks in their back line. The Saints will allow this all day long, so expect Geelong's back line to get a lot of it. Only 5 teams last year averaged 39 plus clearances, and Geelong came in at number 5. The Saints were second lowest in clearances with 33.8. Specifically in centre clearances, this is where the cats shine. They ranked 3rd in the comp in centre clearances last year. Where did the Saints rank in 2024 for centre clearances, boys? Dead last.
What a surprise.
Explained by ranking dead last in hitouts in 2024. And last week, unsurprisingly, losing the centre clearances 20-11 against the Crows. The Cats ranked number 1 in metres gained and ranked 2nd in intercepts, averaging 71.4, compared to last in the comp, Eagles and Kangas down to 59 intercepts per game. So it's pretty considerable difference there. The Cats, unsurprisingly, averaged the most goals in the comp last year, 14 goals per game. Saints ranked 15th. The Cats were 3rd last in uncontested possessions, but 5th in contested possessions. Marks inside 50 is where the Cats shine and where the Saints struggle. Cats ranked number 1 with marks inside 50. Saints are actually surprisingly mid-table for marks inside 50, but I reckon if there's a stat for marks inside 30, that's where the Saints would probably be ranked last. We don't hit a lot of players on the lead, whereas the Cats love this, especially with Jeremy Cameron up forward. Last time Saints played Geelong, the Saints only had 4 players that played less than 50 games. Last week against Adelaide, we had 8 players that played less than 50 games. And Geelong score, and obviously they're a heavy scoring team. Against Freo, they scored 5 goals in quarter 1, 7 goals in quarter 2, went quiet in quarter 3 with 1 goal, and then bang in the last quarter with 10 goals. Those are the insights I gathered. Coach Proc, what do we have based off the insights?
Jesus, heavy numbers. Good work, Jules. Really deep dive into the stats. It does resonate a lot with what I'm about to go through, especially the marks. That's a really big telling point, I think, for this match. So, like last week, I've broken it down, Geelong versus the Saints. And just a little intro to Geelong. I think we all know Geelong pretty well compared to Adelaide. I think it was worth mentioning a few players they brought in. But obviously, Bailey Smith is a really great inclusion. He's a huge metres game player, and he'll just complement that number one status of where they are in the metres gained.
Yep.
He's out a little bit. Henry looks really dangerous now up forward too. He's starting to really click well with Neil and Cameron. I think those three, the three-headed monster there, they're really dangerous. So, just a couple of, I guess, notable ones. And obviously, Humphreys down back has been a huge, huge implement.
Come from nowhere.
And Tom Stewart is just unbelievable. He marks everything. So, yeah, the Cats are primed. They're ready to go. They're looking the goods this year. Look, one thing I picked up on the Cats, interestingly enough, and it might have been just in Trent's highlights here, but a lot of their entries and their ball movement was quite straight. So, yes, they marked the ball a lot, but once they came out from stoppages, they didn't overhandball. It was like one handball, and then they were happy just to kick it, like surge kick it.
The ground down there is pretty narrow.
Yeah, it is. So they just take meters, metres gained team.
Yep.
Happy to kick long down the line. And if Neil doesn't mark it, he brings it to ground. And but the thing is, against Fremantle, they were marking a lot, like contested marking. So, and not only that, was with those two boys I mentioned before, with Neil, Cameron, Henry, and then Dangerfield was popping up as another contested mark. And it was a real, real worry for Freo. They just couldn't deal with that strength in the air. And then what actually happened was that none of their ball movement was really clean or pretty to watch. There was just straight contest, mark, and then deeper. And they took the ball in, and we call it POMO, right, which is point of most opportunity, which is literally 20 metres in. You imagine a 50-metre arc, imagine a 20-metre arc. That's where you have to take the ball to score, to get the point of most opportunity. So they took it into POMO, put it on someone's head, and it was a crumbing goal. And I counted five throughout the day from that area itself, right. Three from forward pressure itself as well. So eight goals within, I know they kicked a lot, but it was pretty evident that they were just moving the ball straight and long. But down back, they want to find marks. They're happy to take possession, you know, build the game up on their terms, and then they go, all right. But so, and then they've got some good flow and angles that they take with their ball movement, but really from stoppages, it's long and straight and keeping it really line of goal stuff, which is pretty simple in those terms because their numbers with the possessions weren't crazy high, 360. But what was really noticeable was 250 kicks almost and only 113 handballs, there which is go. Really, really low. Really low number. But again, they're a marking team. They took 110 marks and their deficiency was quite good, you know, around about that 75. And you're right about the inside 50s. They took 17 marks inside 50s along with their, you know, contests in the air. So that is going to worry the Saints a lot, really, you know, in the sense of the stoppage work and how deep they take the ball, let alone we know how much Geelong marked the ball well across halfback. So that's sort of the Cats in a nutshell. Now, with the Saints, what essentially the two things I've worked through is what they need to do and then what they must have. So what the Saints need to do and need to work for is ruck dominance. And I actually think that they can do this, even though Boyd's in his second game and Marshall's there. De Koning and Blitzarves, you know, are not dominant ruckmen, no. Right? So, but they're obviously good followers. They pick up the ball, but they only had 18 hitouts and 10.
Correct.
And
well, I will just jump in there because the last three wins we had at Marble, if you look at the best players, the last two were Rowan Marshall, who absolutely creamed them in the ruck. I know they really, the last win, they didn't really have anyone. I think they had Conway in there.
Yeah.
They were struggling a bit. Yeah. But the match before that, it was Paddy Ryder who knocked him up for three goals as
my
well.
My man.
So that's spot on with the one area we can look to dominate.
Yeah. I just thought they need ruck dominance and they need to dominate stoppages. So, you know, rolling the sleeves up in there. And obviously Geelong, you mentioned before about the clearances so high, they rank third. If the Saints can get on top in there and really get to work, I think that, you know, obviously you move the ball forward and maybe get some opportunities to score. But that's going to be really, really important to get some support in there. So the way I think we would do that is potentially using, I guess, our wingers as a sweep winger and whether we send it through, so to go wing on win. And because what will happen is Geelong will take a forward up to the stoppage, right? Always. They always take a forward up. And Ross will predominantly want to take a plus one, just, you know.
Yep.
And it almost sits at the back, as in the last one. I would not play that this week. I would take the defender and put him right up into the stoppage into a wing sweep position. I would send a winger through to be wing v wing. And then from there, you've got circle control and whether we can come out of hands. I think that'd be really important as well. And maybe get some angles on the stoppages with your handballing and things, and then you can take it forward. So that's one area I'd definitely look at. In regards to the Cats taking it in deep, there can't be any soft drops. So Cordy and also Wilkie and whoever is the help side winger, whoever's coming off that wing, getting back to help, they have to make sure that there is no soft drops. So, you know, where the ball just drops down, they're so good, Neil and Cameron, at creating a contest. It has to go out of bounds or it has to be a behind or a turnover. If there's any soft drops, you saw last week they kicked five crumbing goals and there's three forward pressure ones from those contests.
Yep.
So they've just got to send it away.
Got to be decisive.
And get them on the outside. If it's in tight and it's soft, the Cats are awesome. They're just built on it. They're just really built for those small soft drops. So Wilkie and Cordy are going to be really important down there. In regards to must-have marks, Jules mentioned before, got to have over 100 marks to control the game, keep it on the Saints' turns. That's when they're playing their best. And finding ways to score. And then the last thing I had was just like physicality, and that's a very simple thing to say, but physicality like off the ball. So like when Geelong, you know, what they call emptying out. So, you know, the Saints mark the ball and then they transition in the back half and build it up. Geelong will empty out. Their defenders have to put bumpers on, so it's like where you just smash them and you be real physical and get them. And I really try and get under their skin and maybe play with a bit of a chip on their shoulder. I reckon the Saints need to this week and really roll the sleeves up and make it a difficult day there. And I think the physicality will really, really help the messaging around the soft drops, because you've got to go through those contests and really punch the ball hard. And then, yeah, essentially a couple of matchups. I just had Holmes. I just thought he was so good last week.
Yeah, he was.
As much as Dangerfield was good and Bailey Smith, I would watch him because he got forward a lot from stoppages. He looked really dangerous. I think someone in the midfield is going to have to really be, yeah, an anchor or whatever. It looks sweep, you know, and just pick him up because he got a couple of marks inside 50. He got crumbing goals inside 50. And he clearly had a license to go forward and play that attacking midfield role as well. So I would definitely have someone on him. Probably my man Windhager again, yeah, just to pick him up.
Yeah, something about Holmes is he actually only had under 20 disposals once last season. He's getting better and better.
Yep.
And, yeah, a lot of people obviously noticed Bailey Smith and his Nike headband last week, but it was Holmes, you're right, Clint, who was Holmes. The best on ground for me.
Elite bracket, yep. Isn't he, Holmes?
He just uses it so well, and they actually are playing him in the middle this year. So he started the year at half-back last season. Now they're playing him in the middle where he's drifting forward and being real damaging. So I think we have to put some attention into him.
24 touches and 2 goals for Max Holmes from memory.
Yep.
And, yeah, we do have Windhager, as you talked about. We have Max Hall, who could play a tag and roll. And as you said, there's just 3 key players, really, for me. Tom Stewart, Baz Lenker, Bailey Smith, and Max Holmes. So, you know, do we use our 2 taggers to stop them, or do we just let them do their thing? Because they're going to do what they do again. Even Zach Guthrie off the half-back flank can be damaging.
You still got to play your way, but it depends if it's in the makeup, right? I would definitely run with Holmes. I would not heavy, but I'd just watch him forward, right, and make sure you pick him up and don't have any space like he had against Freo.
So they'll line up with what? De Koning, Bailey Smith. This Smith, is for them. Yeah. I mean, they mix up the centre bounce attendances, as did we. We had McRae and Steele in ours for the majority with Harry Boyd. And then we also chucked in Garcia, Windy, Clark here and there. So the third one was rotated very heavily for the Saints. Geelong, quite similar. They had, really, they only had Tom Atkins in there for the most, which actually wasn't even that many. And then they rotated Mitch Nevitt, Bailey Smith, Holmes. Tom Stewart was in there for 50% of centre bounce attendances as well. So, yeah, pretty interesting. It's, again, the centre clearance is going to be big for the Saints, as you talked about. So
the real worry for me is that three-headed monster that you mentioned, Clint, because they were very prominent in round one. And it just reminds you about that Adelaide three, that forward line that we saw.
Sorry.
Fogarty, Phil Hall, Walker.
Adelaide, that three-headed monster gives a few other teams.
All that trashing of Dougal Howard. Now we're going, please come back.
For Jeremy Cameron and Neil. And Neil looked very good last week.
Neil's improved out of sight. I remember coaching against him. He was okay. I didn't worry about him too much. I thought, oh, he's a developing forward, but didn't worry. Well, Radicalia was scaring the shit out of us more than him.
Well, I did hear.
But now he's just like,
he feels now that Hawkins not there. He just feels
he's the man.
Oh, yeah, he's a fantastic contested mark. So honestly,
he's great.
He can reel in the strong marks.
You have to get him for a goal or so against us. Generally, like,
But say Wilkie and Cordy will take those two, and then you've got, like you said, Henry.
That's
who's
what
up for
Dangerfield. Henry looks really dangerous. That's probably Webster, right?
Yeah,
match up. And then Dangerfield is the really tough one because he's so strong overhead too.
We saw Hasty how many times he got caught. Look, there was no organisation, and he ended up being the fourth man on Thieltorp a couple of times.
Yeah.
He's not that type of player, so it needs to be better organised there back. But they're getting pounded out of the centre. We're just coming down all the time, so need to tighten up in the centre, I reckon.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's pretty much what I've got. And then hopefully, if the Saints can do those things, I'll refresh it. I'll go again. So ruck dominance, stoppages, I think that Boyd and those boys have got to have to lift up. Really, really important and get on top there.
Pomo to my
Pomo, yep. So no soft drops in Pomo,
soft
all right?
Drops, Pomo,
no soft drops. You've got to be smashing those skinny wings.
We're gonna have a dictionary.
Wilkie and Cordy have got to just send that ball out over 100 marks. And then the physicality's got to be really important, and someone has to watch Holmes. And I think if they can do that, get the game on their terms, they're a chance. Yeah, who knows?
That's why he's the coach.
Look, interesting. The last thing I'll say is that the Saints, actually, their profile is very similar with regards to possessions and marks and kicks. No different to Geelong, really, if you think about it.
The only
difference is disposal efficiency. The Saints are at 66%.
Right.
Right. The Cats are over 75%, so they're much better with the ball in hand. And then the marks inside 50 as well, 17 to 10 compared to last week.
We've got less than 10 minutes. Do we want to fire questions at Coach Proc? And Jos, do you have any insights for us as well, and Coach Trent?
Well, I thought that was a beautiful analysis, but...
Very good.
Same thing that comes out of Adelaide, mate. Saints need to get better. We know Geelong are one of the top teams, but we didn't know Adelaide were going to be one of the better teams. But
you still don't.
We still don't, because we saw what happened with Port Adelaide in the preseason. They looked on top of their game and they got rolled massively by Collingwood. So we'll see how Adelaide goes against Essendon at the MCG on Saturday. It'll be a good one. Mm-hmm. We'll be there catering for that as well.
Hey,
delightful knocky on the members.
Hey, bring it on. Hey, I don't want to distract you here, but actually, did you hear about there could be a draft pick next year? A Ruckman number one pick.
Okay.
It's good for the Saints, right? What? You need a ruckman, right?
I had a little bit of a quick look today.
No, but they're talking about some...
After seeing the result...
CKD or whatever his name is.
I had a look at the draft and there are some big bodies.
There's this ruckman that's got like 20, 30 possessions. Anyway.
What are we going to do with all that money we've saved for Tom DeConi?
No, he's there in the draft. You can get him for free.
That's great.
Lockdown now.
Anyway, let's win this game.
All right, I got a few insights that I want to see. This is what I want to see after last week's match where we didn't see much. So I don't want to see a dog-hungry mentality. I want to see a starving dog mentality, which Clint was talking about.
Yep.
From the first bounce, they need to be want to chase, to tackle, pressure, get into the opposition. That's what you're saying, put in that body on them.
Bumpers.
Just like we can understand
they've got less talent than Geelong.
Dog-hungry, starving dog-hungry to be at it. And the next thing I want to see, they keep saying we're young, and I know this has been a bugbear with some of the supporters earlier as well. Well, let's see some of these youngsters. Let the kids cook. Clint and I are going to butt heads over this, but we saw all those guys come in. We saw Jones. We saw Clark come in. Burns play. We didn't really see Hill play. He didn't do much, did he?
Got tagged.
But I would much prefer, I think, like a lot of the other supporters, to see Boxall's got to come in. We need to see Trevelyan, even if it's as a sub. I'd love to see Keeler. And that was the one bit of excitement the fans got from last week. We're seeing Max Hall's Clint's man. Do we have a little...
Yeah, where's the buzzer for that one? I picked that ages ago. Come on.
We'll get the cowbells.
But that was the bit of excitement we had from that one bit of excitement from the match. So we saw the other teams. They unleashed Murphy Reid, who we didn't pick. 4 goals in, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
We saw Lindsay have a really good game for Melbourne, who didn't pick. We saw the trainer, Harry Armstrong, who were available at our picks, play for Richmond. So that's what we see. We understand we're a younger team. We can accept that we're not going to be up to Geelong standard, but we just want to see a bit more excitement to give the fans that. So I'd love to see Boxall, Trevelyan, Keeler. I want to see more of that threesome down backs, go and make a Hasty and Naz working together because they distribute it really well. So... That's what you said with Cordy and Wilkie leading the way, competing.
Yep.
If these guys can get the ball in and possess it, they know what to do with it. So I'd like to see a bit more of that. And same that midfield, a bit of pop and breakaway. Once we halve it or Rowan is pushing it forward, a bit of pop, breakaway from the stoppage, a bit of excitement. Maybe Garcia play a bit more than Steele. Clint pushing forward, that competitiveness down there. Mm. Let him go to work down there. And that's what I like to see. What do you reckon?
I agree. Get Garcia in the guts. That guy can tackle him. I think we need that if we're going to bring the pressure. So I'd play Garcia in the middle more and push Steele up the ground.
Yep. Any other changes to the team just before we wrap up in the next 5 minutes?
Yeah, well, I don't know. What
we
do you reckon?
We've got the whiteboard up,
and that's the team. Well, that's what I'd say.
Anyone returning from injury?
Mitch Owens is tipped to return this weekend.
This weekend?
Yeah, Mitch Owens.
He'll come in.
He'll come in.
So who goes out looking at the side? Like, I mean, Hasty was a sub, but you'd think that he retained his spot.
Take a pick.
Yeah.
Who else? Yeah.
I'm assuming O'Connell might get overlooked since he only had the 7 possessions.
It's going to be Hill, Caminiti, Cordy. Cordy will be played. But Clark, Steele, Burns, those type of guys have got to be in the line just because they're the guys who are experienced and we got nothing from them, basically. So, like, if we want to put Owens comes in, Henry possibility, but I guess so you need a run in the reserves.
Yeah, O'Connell?
O'Connell will probably miss, I think. He only had the 7 touches.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jones did enough. He only had the 11 touches.
Yeah, Yoss has got a real gripe about Jones being in that side. I mean,
it depends. If you give him a
They won't make drastic changes. It'll be literally one for one.
I think you're right. I don't think they'll be. I'm just looking over at the whiteboard there.
There's not much else.
See a lot of movement.
They won't do it. Not this week.
Keeler for Caminini, I reckon.
It won't happen. Oh no, he wanted to. He'll get a game later.
All right, we'll discuss it and we'll put our final team up and we'll post it on Instagram.
I think honestly they'll just keep the team as it is and they'll make the one change. They'll bring Owens in and I think you're right, O'Connell will probably miss.
Well, I think Caminiti might go down back,
but that's
right?
A selection the fans really hate, because who are you dropping? O'Connell. You're dropping one of the guys who played well in the preseason, doesn't have a lot of experience, and you're keeping that. The guys who do have experience have performed averagely on the weekend, and that's the stuff that really annoys the Saints supporters. I'm just telling from our perspective. I understand the coaching perspective, but
it's just not the right game because you're playing against Geelong. If you're playing against someone like Richmond, that's different, all right, or whatever it is, or someone that's lower. Like when the season unfolds, and then you find out where you sit and who's in and around close to you. That's when you mix and bring and blend the kids in, because if you play too many, you just get smashed. Like, it won't be 60, it'll be 120. So that's the thing. You can't have 120 losses. You don't want that pressure. You don't want 100-point losses. Like, I'm not saying 60 is good, but you weren't Port Adelaide. Is that right? They lost like 90 points, right? And you weren't Freo, and you weren't Carlton, because Carlton choked or whatever it is, but 60 and 50, you can sort of just get away with it.
All right, so we'll be circumspect at this match committee. We'll say Owens, if he's fit.
Owens in.
And I'm going to go Boxall. He's got to come in. Yeah. Well, give me one.
No, they'll want to see him in the VFL.
Mate, well, I saw enough preseason.
Who are you bringing out?
Well, take out Burns. Take out
By the sounds of it, I think Burns is like, they like him, don't they? He must do something. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of Burns.
I tend to think Trent is spot on. I reckon... Well, Caminiti might move down back. Connell will come out, and then Owens will come in. And do I think that's what the players deserve? Like, do I think Jones and them deserve another game after last week? Probably not. But I think you're right, given that it's against Geelong.
I don't think Caminiti will move either. I think he'll stay.
That's right. I'm looking because we've got Wilkie Cordy showing.
I'm just telling you.
He's not going to work with that game plan, though.
Caminiti and Owens will play in forward line. With Marshall.
He needs to fly, but once bring the ball to bound.
Because Caminiti will need to.
He does nothing once the ball.
Caminiti will need to play on Stewart. He'll need to play on him and make sure he's not marking the ball. So he'll have a role on one of those key defenders. That's for sure.
Awesome. All right. Well, that was our little match preview against Geelong. Final tips after now. So we got the tips before we started, and then we heard Coach Brock's insights. Now, do we have any change of tips? So let's give a final tip and a margin.
I'm going to go to the Saints.
Yep.
Are you really?
Oh, dear. After all that.
After ragging. I'm just. The last three games, we've won. And I have a feeling if we can do well in the ruck, if Rowe's good to go, it's like a fast paced ground. And Geelong have changed a little bit. Mm. But I'm going to say we might sneak in by five pointer.
Yeah. I hope yours is right. I'll have to say Geelong. I'll say 53.
Wow. You're going to be
50 points. I'm just going Geelong by like a 25.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm with you on that.
23-point win or something.
But Geelong hate Marvel, mate.
It's interesting that they do.
I'm going to echo that. I think we look at what we did wrong against Adelaide. Yeah. We try and hold the ball a little bit more and just try and stop them from scoring. I think it'll be a slow.
We're going to be like 14 goals to 12. 14 goals to 11.
Ross knows how to play, mate. He knows how to strangle at Marvel. He knows how to play well there.
Put it this way. I think, here's this. I'll put this. Caminiti kicked 3 goals. There you go.
I reckon he might start back. I reckon Jules is on the spot with that. But anyway,
who knows?
Or Higgins. Higgins will keep
We'll find out.
Sure.
We'll take Jack. All right, that was SOS on the clock. We hope to join you on Sunday or next Monday when we talk about the result when Saints play Geelong. Hopefully we'll know a lot more then. Hopefully it's a positive result for all you Saints fans out there. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and we'll see you next time for our full episode of Saints or Sinners.